Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during November. New Moon falls on November 6th, the last night of daylight time for North Americans. Europeans turn back their clocks on Halloween. Full Moon falls on the 21st, and that means you'll have more evening stars to work with early and late in the month. Darkness comes sooner now that we're back to standard time, and for us stargazers, that's a good thing. Jupiter is the brightest planet in the evening sky, and it's impossible to miss high up in the southeast after sunset. In fact, have some cosmic fun by seeing how soon after sunset you can spot the King of Planets. Now, Jupiter isn't the only planet above the horizon on November evenings, though it's the only one visible to the eye. Mars is very near the sun in the west, but you'll need optical aid to see it. Late this month, Mercury will pop above the horizon nearby, lost in the twilight. Uranus is only a few degrees from Jupiter, as it has been for some months, and Neptune is to their right in the south. But those distant planets require binoculars or a telescope to see. So, for viewing planets with just your eyeballs, Jupiter is what we've got to work with for the time being. Now look high up in the west, and you'll see our old friends, the three bright stars of the summer triangle. Vega is the brightest, and the one closest to the horizon. Deneb is above it, by the width of two or three fists held at arm's length, and Altair is farther off to Vega's left. I suppose summer triangle is a little bit of a misnomer, because you'll be able to see this striking trio well into December. Oh, mentioning Deneb just reminded me of something. Have you ever wondered just how starry your starry sky is compared to everybody else's? In early November, you can find out easily, thanks to a sky awareness campaign called the Great Worldwide Star Count. All you'll need are a clear evening sky sometime between October 29th and November 12th, your own two eyes, and a set of simple star charts that you can download from the website starcount.org. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, you'll be looking high up for the constellation Cygnus and its Northern Cross star pattern, which has the star Deneb at the top. After letting your eyes adjust to the darkness, match one of the charts to what you see overhead. Then step back inside and report what you found online. You're done. Later on, you can compare your value with those elsewhere in your part of the world or everywhere in the world. Okay, back to our evening star walk. Turn to your left to face south. The only decently bright star in that part of the sky is called Fomalhaut. It's well to the lower right of Jupiter, and about two or three fists above the horizon, depending on your latitude. This lonely beacon is sometimes called the Autumn Star. It's part of the dim constellation known as Piscis Austrinus, the southern fish. Look for Fomalhaut around mid-November at 7 p.m., and note what's below it along your horizon. That direction is due south. If Fomalhaut is due south, and you do an about-face to look due north, you'll find Polaris, the North Star, roughly halfway from horizon to overhead. Don't expect to be dazzled by Polaris. It's only half as bright as Fomalhaut. About three fists to the upper right of Polaris, you'll see a group of five medium-bright stars, crudely shaped like a three or like a broad W tipped up on its left corner. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. Now, those stars don't look much like a queen to me, but you might convince yourself that they at least outline the chair or throne that she's sitting on. Ancient poets say that Cassiopeia was queen of either Ethiopia or Joppa, the city now called Jaffa in Israel. In any case, she was both beautiful and boastful. To punish her arrogance, Poseidon, lord of the sea, sent the monster Cetus to ravage her land. Then the story gets messy. Her daughter Andromeda gets chained to a rock. The hero Perseus swoops in to save her, yada yada yada. I'll get into this story more next time, but the bottom line is that Cassiopeia's misdeeds landed her up in the sky, doomed to hang upside down half the time. November is also the month of the Leonid meteor shower, so called because the streaks of these shooting stars appear to radiate from the constellation Leo. You might recall that the Leonids put on a spectacular show during the late 1990s, but normally it's a pretty modest display that you have to get up before dawn to see. Last year, Leonid watchers were rewarded with an exciting but brief pulse of meteors, but no such bonus is in the offing for 2010. A waxing nearly full moon will wash out most of the 20 or so meteors per hour that you'd ordinarily see. Now here's a final tip for you early risers. Be sure to watch for a spectacular climb by Venus in the eastern sky before dawn. As November opens, Venus is out of sight in bright twilight, but as the weeks go by, you'll see its unmistakable beacon climb up and up in the sky. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend more time with Cassiopeia and her dysfunctional family. Until then, I wish you clear skies.